I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
This is the Athletic Hockey Show.
Back, everybody. It is your Monday edition of the Athletic Hockey Show. As always, TMN is Julie McKenzie with you for the next hour or so. We're going to recap an interesting weekend in the hockey world. Julian, what is it? Death, taxes, and Vancouver Canucks controversies, right? There's only a few guarantees in life. Got ourselves another one out on the left
coast.
Oh,
sorry for laughing, but it's so true.
Oh, man. It just feels like they just can't get out from under it. So we'll get on that. A huge revenge game kind of coming up in Boston on Monday. Should be a clash of the Titans with so many great storylines. Vegas and the Bruins. And, we'll look, there's a lot to get to here. But you know where I'm going to start, though, with this?
And yeah, where?
I'm going to start with the conversation we were just having off before we're recording. Our producer, Chris Flannery, is a diehard Rangers fan. Like, and I mean, just loves the Rangers. He's one of those guys that if he misses the game, he's PVRing it, trying to shut off his phone, trying to get the results of his game watch it through. Like, he's that much of a fan, okay? And what I thought was interesting was you said you picked the Rangers to be your Stanley Cup team from the Eastern Conference. Now, did you pick them to win the Cup or just get to the Cup?
I picked them to get to the Cup. I picked them to go against Colorado.
And I'm telling you, man, like, Julian, I watched the Rangers in the home-and-home series against Ottawa last week, and then I saw that they lost to Chicago. I'm like, how is this the team that got to the conference final last year? Like, they don't even look the least bit intimidating to me, right?
Man, I'm not going to act as if I've watched games for them this year, just focusing with Calgary. But, like, my big thing with them was that they, at least on paper, have pieces that a lot of championship teams require in order to make runs. I thought their forward core would be great with the pieces that they have in guys like Artemi Panarin up front. Chris Kreider, I didn't expect him to have a 50-goal season, but he established himself as a viable, like, top option. Mika Zibanejad had a really good postseason, another great player in that organization. Those are guys up front. And then on defense, you have a franchise defenseman in Adam Fox, who should be up for a Norris Trophy every year. He will likely end up in the Norris Trophy discussion at the end of this year when it's all said and done, if he continues to play like how he's playing. And then you have Igor Shesterkin, who he's the reigning Vezina winner and is proved to be a really great goalie for them in the playoffs. And at least in talking to Chris, like, it seems like Igor is not really playing all that well.
You know what? Shesterkin, the way he's playing this, like, he was out of his mind last year. Like, you know what? He was like and I know this might be sacrilegious to say this in some to some people, he was like Dominic Hasek good. Like the save percentage was like 935. Like he was out of his mind. Like he was just out of his mind. Like if you go back, remember Tim Thomas had one of those years for Boston. Hasek was like that. You were just, this guy's straight up stealing games for you. And this year, it's like he's regressed to just be an average goalie. Like he's like, I want to say something. He's not terrible. I want to make this clear. Igor Shesterkin is not terrible. He's average. He's got a 913 save percentage, which just feels very pedestrian. You know, 250, whatever goals against average. Like he's just, this is the answer to what would happen if the Rangers just got average goaltending. And man, I got to tell you, I saw this. I think Sean Mackin, like Down Goes Brown and I talked about this a few weeks ago when, you know, the Rangers were off to an okay start. We're like, man, can you imagine if all three teams in the Metro New York area make the playoffs? Devils, Islanders, Rangers. They haven't done that in 15 years. All of them make the playoffs in the same year. That'd be pretty cool, right? Would you agree with me on this? If you're picking one of those three teams to miss right now, aren't you picking the Rangers out of the amongst the Devils, Islanders, and Rangers to miss the playoffs? Don't you kind of feel that way?
They would look like the strongest candidate to do so.
Yeah.
It's wild. I can't pick the Devils. They're too good. They're too far up ahead. So it kind of has to be the Rangers.
Not crazy. Think about that. The Islanders missed the playoffs last year. The Devils missed the playoffs last year. The Rangers got to the conference final, and here we are in December, and you're like, if you have to pick amongst those three teams, who do you think misses? I think a lot of people are going Rangers.
But, like I mean,
it's wild.
Things could change. There's a lot of time left. I'm just thinking because, you know, there are going to be Rangers fans who are going to be upset because Rangers fans love it when shows talk about their team. Like, the Rangers deserve to be talked about, but, like, there's a lot of time.
Yeah, but you know what? I think last year what Rangers fans got a little sour about was the underlying numbers. People like the nerd crowd was like, nah, this is unsustainable. You can't win with, like, you're just propped up by good goaltending and a crazy power play. And I think Rangers fans were like, yeah, we have good goaltending and a great power play. Like, why is that a bad thing? Like, you know, most
it shouldn't be a bad thing at all.
It shouldn't be a bad thing, but
teams beg for that all the time.
We put so much of an emphasis on 5-on-5 play that, you know, and it is. It's usually a good indicator, but they got so deep in the playoffs last year. So I can understand why Rangers fans might have had a little chip on their shoulder last year when everyone was like, no, they're not that good. Like, it'll catch up to them. But this year, I think that they're smart enough to know, like, this is frustrating to watch. Like I think the criticism somewhat warranted, right? Like, the fans are starting Gerard Gallant. Something's off there. That's all. And I can't believe that I would pick them. Like, if you went back 6 weeks ago and told me one of these teams is going to miss the playoffs, I think we'd all be like, it's the Devils, right? Or not, the Islanders, whatever. Nope.
Yeah.
I think it's the Rangers.
But the good thing for the Rangers is that they're only 3 points, as of this recording, they're only 3 points behind the Islanders and are only like 2 points out of a playoff spot. Like, things are not, I think because of how good they were last year, you would think of them as a team that should be kind of nestled in that top three or top two in that division and should be looked at as a team that should be, at least in the regular season, better than what they were last year, at least just a really good team. So the fact that they're kind of middle of the pack, not bordering, they're kind of on the outside looking in right now. There is some frustration there. But I don't know. Sometimes it's better to go through all that adversity stuff at the beginning and then you start going on a run after, right? As opposed to starting off hot and then you fold at the end.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, and look, I think we came into this year saying, if you looked at the Eastern Conference, right? And we were like, oh, man. All eight teams had 100 points to make the playoffs last year. Like, maybe one team is going to fall off their perch, and you know what? There's two at least that look like they're vulnerable. One being the Rangers, the other being Washington. And you know, the Caps are really sputtering right now. They're hit with injuries. You know, Rangers and Capitals. Like, I feel like I don't see a scenario where they both make the playoffs this season.
I think the Capitals are missing. I have to watch the Capitals over the weekend. And, like, I mean, I think the Flames did what they could to kind of, you know, look good in front of them and dominate play and look pretty good at 5-on-5. The biggest thing about it for me was just like, you know, Alexander Ovechkin, we know he's chasing history. That game might have been the most disinterested I've seen from him maybe ever. Like, even on power plays, like, he's like standing around waiting for the puck to come his way. Like, he's not really doing a lot of fight back for back checks and stuff. And again, he's an offensive guy. We're not going to look at him as the greatest defensive player ever. Like, that's not what you get Alexander Ovechkin for. You get him to snipe goals from the Ovechkin spot and win games. But I mean, just the fact that the team is not playing well and the fact that he's like, just, you know, not playing at a high level, like, that was a bit worrisome for me to watch.
You know what, though? You know what it reminds me a little of? And I covered this when I worked in TV. Like, I covered Barry Bonds' home run chase in the summer of 2007 when he was chasing down Henry Aaron. And
yeah,
those were kind of meaning. Like, the Giants were a bad team at that point. But they had this guy that was kind of, you know, certainly making news in Barry Bonds. And so that made the Giants kind of, you know, I'll tune in, I'll watch the Giants game, whatever.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but I kind of feel like, this is how it might start to play out for Ovechkin. That if he's going to chase down, he's, you know, within about 100 of Gretzky, that these games are, he's going to become the attraction now. And you might be in that spot where you're chasing down a record and that matters more than the team. Because it just, man, it feels like they've aged overnight in a hurry as a group.
Yeah. And like, this team is not, it's not like they're like, even like once upon a time, like you're looking at younger guys like an Evgeny Kuznetsov to kind of bring up the rear a little bit. Like, those guys are not playing at that same level anymore. So yeah, like it's just kind of, it's really unfortunate for those guys because of the way that they played from the late 2000s, in the early 2010s to that cup win in 2018. This should be a team. Ovechkin should be a player, honestly, with so much more playoff success and maybe more cup final rings to his name. And like, if this is it, like, we're just in for Ovi watch for the next little while where it's just him trying to chase this. Like, I imagine it might be a little bittersweet if you look back on his career. Like, yeah, he gets the record, but like, he really only has like one ring, whereas Sidney Crosby has like so much more to his name. On top of the fact, not to make it political, but I think it has to be part of the discussion here. There are some people who will look at Alexander Ovechkin's affiliations and feel that like it has been like any celebration for that is like subdued. Because like, in any other circumstance, like, fine, if you're telling me, okay, the only time I really have to watch the Washington Capitals is to see Alexander Ovechkin, you know, try to score goals to get to this record, like, we'd be like all over it. But, you know, it's a bit of an awkward, I think it's still a bit awkward. I know some people are going away from it, and it's very easy to go away from it. But I think that there's still, because it's still out there, it still makes things a little bit awkward.
No, absolutely it does. And I think that that is part of the narrative on Ovechkin, right? You can't separate the two. That's part of who he is, you know,
absolutely. And even if you want to say like, hey, you know what? It's a very difficult situation to have to speak out on that. I know we've probably discussed it on our own respective platforms, but like, even then, like, I think it still just makes it a little weird.
Yeah. I'll tell you know what was a little weird was Brock Besser on the weekend. You want to talk about awkward and weird, Julian? Just to set this up for the listeners that maybe missed this on the weekend, because it was a Vancouver-Arizona game, not necessarily a game that had a lot of eyeballs on it, but Brock Besser was slated to be a healthy scratch on the weekend. Was out with the extra players. I was kind of following along with Thomas Drance's tweets, and you know, he was like, hey, Besser's out there taking extra shots. He's not going to play tonight, and it looked like, wow, Brock Besser's going to be a healthy scratch, which a guy that's got a couple more years left on a contract, Julian, at $6.5 million per on the cap hit. That's a big story. Like that, you know, Brock Besser is going to be a healthy scratch. Big story. But here's the funny thing. He ends up having to play at the last minute. Dakota Joshua wakes up from a post-game nap, not feeling great, whatever. He's like, I can't go. So Besser goes all day thinking he wasn't going to play. Then he plays. Now, here's what I want to ask you, because I want to be real clear on this. Sometimes I don't know what to think. And I don't know, like, I don't want to ever manufacture fake outrage and stuff like that. I want to have a real thoughtful, nuanced discussion on this.
Sure.
It was supposed to be Hockey Fights. Well, not supposed. It was Hockey Fights Cancer Night in Vancouver on Saturday. And Brock Besser's dad passed away. He had a long battle with amongst other ailments, you know, Parkinson's disease, but he also had a long battle with cancer. And Brock Besser, when he came out for the warm-up in a game that he wasn't supposed to play but did play, his Hockey Fights Cancer Vancouver Canucks jersey had his dad's name on the back. Dookie was his dad's nickname on the back of his jersey. After the game, Besser, who, by the way, scored in the third period of that game, Bruce Boudreaux said he was playing mad in that game. Besser says, quote, "Obviously, it's a night that means a lot to me and my family. So I'm just happy I got in. And to be able to score was the cherry on top." Here's my question, Julian. Help me navigate this. And maybe I'm hoping actually maybe you have an insightful answer that can help guide me, because I'll be real honest, I don't know what to think. But should a team consider something like that and say, you know what, it's poor form. The guy, it's Hockey Fights Cancer Night. It's a big thing in his family. This game would mean a lot to him. If we're going to scratch him, let's punt it for a night or two. Or you think, hey, this is professional sports, man. This is the NHL. And feelings are secondary. This is a business. And if we think we're better off without you, then you're out. Where do you come down on this? Because I don't know what to think. I really don't.
This feels like two different types of styles. And I guess it really depends on how you want to manage your team. Because I feel like, I don't know why Lou Lamoriello pops into my head, but Lou Lamoriello strikes me as a guy who would be more column B of like, this is professional sports, dude. Like, you got to play, as opposed to someone else who might be more column A, who might think, no, you know what? Like, we could make that work where, you know, that guy could play. We could do what we want to do with this player for another night. I find myself in column A. If I'm in a situation where I know Brock Besser, maybe he's not having the best year. I think he has, what, 3 goals to his name right now? He's not having a great offensive season. Like, this is a night that means a lot to him. He mentioned it to the media that, like, he circled that date. You know? I would understand. And look, the Vancouver Canucks are not going anywhere. You know? I could understand why you put him in the lineup. You keep the peace. You let it go. He's still a good player. So, they actually scored. So, that should be 4 goals. But, like,
yeah, exactly. 4 goals. And 15 points. 15 points in 19 games.
That's not that okay. Look, I would have just played him. And maybe it's not the best move, but maybe I wouldn't have done this for a third line, fourth line player and all that. Because I know a lot of people look, it's a tough situation. But Brock Besser's still one of your more known players. He's still a guy who's been in your organization for quite some time. I could understand why a game like that would mean something to him. So, yeah, I'd probably keep the peace and put him in the lineup. And the fact that he scored, I know he ended up in the lineup because of injury circumstances, but it ended up sort of working out for the Vancouver Canucks in that game. I don't know. I just feel like with the way that they've been handling things as of late, or as it seems like it looks like it's just another mess for this team that really cannot afford to have a mess, any more messes right now.
Yeah, it's a weird, like, part of me want, like, I don't know if they really, if Boudreaux even really, do you think he even knew it's Hockey Fights Cancer Night and this is like, I don't know. I feel like I think I tend to come down with you to say that if I knew all the information, I would let the guy play this game and make it. But, you know, again, I don't believe in creating manufactured outrage or whatever. Like, you know, sometimes people just make bad decisions. And I think the Vancouver Canucks here just made a bad decision. And maybe it wasn't out of malice, but maybe it was just, you know what, man, it's just indicative of what's going on under the hood there, which is lack of communication. Lack of trust, lack of, you know, something's not right there, right? Something just hasn't felt, and you and I are looking at this from like the 10,000-foot view. We're not in that market. We're not immersed in it. We're just kind of looking around, and we're like, something doesn't feel right there. You know what I mean? And when you potentially scratch a guy under these circumstances, doesn't feel right.
Just and feels then that odd. Same night, and the same night, just so happens, we hear that Brock Besser and his people, you know, if they want out of here, they could facilitate something. You know? Like, maybe those two things are not necessarily related, but
no, I think they are, Julian.
That and also it's hard to look at that instance and just solely think of it as an isolated incident and just be like, well, hey, you know what? That's just a bad decision. Like, I get where you're coming from, the fact that, like, hey, people just make bad decisions, but when you consider all the madness that has been surrounding the Vancouver Canucks on and off the ice, that compounds it. It's now just going to be seen as like, well, there is the latest thing to happen in Vancouver lately. Like, it's a mess.
Yeah. And I'd love to hear from our listeners on this. You can hit us up on Twitter. You can hit Julian and I up on the comment section of the podcast. Do you have a problem with this? Do you have a problem with Vancouver about to scratch Brock Besser on Hockey Fights Cancer Night? Or no, you're like, hey, I think I want to always, anytime I go into a debate or a topic, I want to at the very least understand multiple sides of the equation. So like, I can understand, I hope people understand that I know this is the National Hockey League. This isn't my, minor hockey, youth hockey, equalized time, all that stuff. No, this isn't that. This is the professional sports league. And if you feel like you want to make a lineup decision to bench, like so many times we ask coaches, we demand like, man, I wish the coach had the stones to bench the $6 million guy. Then he does it. And then we're like, I can't believe he benched the $6 million guy.
It's $6 million. What are you going to do?
This, I guess my point is when you bench a $6 million, and Besser's cap hit is 6.5, right?
Yeah, about that. Maybe a little bit more.
Yeah, but with a couple of years left on it. That's the nuclear option. That's a nuclear option. And like that tells me that it's off the rails. You very rarely do you see a guy in that salary bracket is a healthy scratch in December.
Right? In the first year of his contract.
Yeah. First year of the 3-year deal. Exactly. It's one of those things where they signed JT Miller. They got to deal with Horvat. It just feels like they're in a weird spot as a franchise. Like, what are you doing here? They're kind of stuck in that meaty middle. They're too good to bottom out and hang out with Arizona and Chicago and whoever else, Philly, Columbus, whoever you want to put down there. And they're not good enough to be a playoff team. And they look like they're going to just be destined to be in this murky middle because they got some talented guys. They do. And when the goalie's playing well, they're good. But
yeah, when he's healthy,
the goalie's
too.
Had the issues. And
I'm sorry to do this to Vancouver Canucks fans, but off of the stuff that's been going on this year, don't forget there was crap going on last year too. And I'm sure and look, Canucks fans know about all the crap that has gone on with their franchise for, you know, as long as they've been going on. So now at this point, we can't even just say, wow, like, I can't believe this mess is going on in Vancouver. Unfortunately, there's a label that's going to follow them where it's just like, this is just Vancouver. Shit just hits the fan if you wait long enough.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
That was the story of the weekend. I think Brock Besser being Scratch was one of the big stories of the weekend. I want to look ahead to Monday night, okay? Because we're going to see, I think this might be the most, and look, you cover the Flames, so you're very well versed in, we'll call them revenge games this year, right? Because the Flames, they've got
they've had a bunch of them.
Yeah, they got the dates with, you know, Tkachuk. They got, you know, Gaudreau is going to come back. Like I feel like, you know, the Flames might have some spicy games this year. But tell me this. Bruce Cassidy back at his old stomping grounds, where the Bruins got rid of him. Is there a spicier game on this schedule than Bruce Cassidy going back to Boston, where the Bruins haven't lost at home this year, right? They're perfect on home ice. And Cassidy has a chance to really make a statement with a Vegas team that's also at the top of the standings in the Western Conference. Like, to me, this might be the game of the week, and it's only Monday. This might be the game of the week.
Not only that, if we get lucky, that might be a cup final preview.
Oof.
Like, that's how good of a potential matchup this could actually be. On a Monday night, too. Like, that's not so bad. I mean, unfortunately for them, they have to go up against whatever Monday night football game, I guess, is going up. But, like, for us as hockey fans, like, who cares? Like, we should watch that game. I will be watching Calgary versus Arizona. But, I mean, I think that matchup could be really interesting to watch. Two teams that have put themselves in really good positions to start off this year. And as you've kind of mentioned, like, seems like the coaching change worked out for everybody.
Yeah.
Vegas gets Bruce Cassidy and they are flying right now. Jim Montgomery is doing a pretty good job, a great job in Boston. I wonder if he'll generally get Jack Adams award votes for the job he's been able to do there. Like, it's a really interesting scenario with those two teams and how good they are. Yeah, I think I'm not saying I mean, and I understand I just said I at the beginning of the year, I wanted Colorado and the Rangers to make the Stanley Cup final. But I don't think it's wrong to say Boston Vegas could be a potential Stanley Cup final.
No, not at all. Not the way, like, if you were looking at it right now at the, you know, 25 game-ish game mark, absolutely. You would look at these two teams and say, this is like, I just love, again, like I said, and you really hit the nail on the head though, when you said the coaching move has worked out for both teams because they both rolled the dice, right? Vegas rolled the dice on Cassidy because obviously he had a less than amicable departure from Boston. And, you know, Boston rolled the dice. They got rid of him and brought in Jim Montgomery looking for a second chance. Like, it's working out perfectly. Like, I'm having a hard time thinking of very many coaching situations, Julian, that have worked out better like this for all three parties. The Bruins, the Golden Knights, Bruce Cassidy. It just feels like everybody is where they're supposed to be. And you know what I loved? Cassidy got asked on Sunday about this being a revenge game. And,
yeah,
you know, he admitted, look, I want to win that game. I want to win the game. I want to beat my old team. Who wouldn't want to? I want to stop their unbeaten streak at home. Who wouldn't want to do that? I love this quote from Bruce Cassidy, Julian. He says, they ask him about this being a revenge game. And he says, quote, I still have a house in Cape Cod that I want to go back to and not have people throw eggs at it. You know?
Why would you tell people where your house is, man? You're just opening the door for people.
The eggs, which I hope these aren't going to be like hard boiled eggs, right? Like, if you're going to egg somebody's house, right out of the
like cart. Why? Like, no way. I don't want that at all. Hard boiled eggs, whatever.
That's going through the window, like, is what I'm saying. Hard boiled.
You know what? I'm not an egg connoisseur. I don't actually like eggs. So, like, I still think it's just really weird.
So, like, what's the deal with you? You just don't eat eggs at all? Like, ever?
I don't eat eggs. I had
when's the last time you had an egg? Since COVID has hit, have you had an egg?
And like a Tim Hortons sandwich, like on accident, maybe, but like it's not something I eat regularly. Like, not since I was like a child.
Can you just explain to the listeners how you would accidentally eat an egg sandwich from Tim Hortons or anywhere? Like, how would that accidentally happen?
You order a breakfast sandwich that's supposed to have sausage and bacon in it, and then they put it in your bag, and then you leave without thinking to check, and then you open it, and you realize they put eggs in it.
Okay.
And there we then go. You just say, you know what? What the hell? I'm just going to have to live with the fact that there is egg in a breakfast sandwich I ordered.
Mystery solved. There we go. mystery solved.
I feel like you're judging me hard on that right now. And I don't like it.
No, no.
Good God. Damn it, Ian. Stop judging me for our food choices.
Man, the Cassidy thing is going to be really interesting, though, because it seemed like a bitter departure.
Yes.
From Boston. And it was weird, too. Like, the timing was weird. Everything was weird about it. And I can't think of a bigger revenge game. I know, maybe when Johnny Gaudreau comes back to Calgary, because that was a guy leaving in free agency.
Yeah.
That might be, but I tell you, Cassidy going back to Boston, that's a pretty big revenge game this year, right?
I think it's definitely up there as someone who is maybe, I would like to think I'm starting to become a bit of an expert when it comes to these revenge games.
Yeah, exactly. Seed,
Kachuk and the Flames. That was a little bit more, like, we heard some boos, but I think a lot of the fans there, I don't necessarily think they had that much hate in their heart for Kachuk. I think they just wanted to move on. Sean Monahan, nobody booed him.
No, how can you? That guy is pure class.
Pure class, and look, it wasn't really his fault. Like, he got banged up, and I think everyone knew that, like, him getting a change of scenery was going to be the best thing. Johnny Gaudreau, that is going to be interesting, because in just talking to players, like, it seemed like he was liked, and he was, like, a quiet guy, and then just, you know, he just made his decision to leave Calgary and go to Columbus, and I think people are wondering, like, maybe not wondering, but, like, we know that Kachuk called Bradshaw Living and was like, you know what, man, I'm not going to sign long term. They made something happen.
You should Gaudreau, do a story on that. If you ever get a chance, you should do a long form story on Kachuk leaving Calgary. I hate to just spit.
That would actually
ideas,
be like a really good. That would be a really good idea. It'd be great to like reach out to like Alan Walsh and like all the other people who were involved in that trade. Yeah, that'd be a great story. And it should be an A1 story, and it should be all over the site.
so tell me, when is Gaudreau's return to Calgary? When does that happen?
Off the top of my head.
Is it in the new year, like in 2023?
It's January 23rd, I believe, is the first time
that he comes back.
But the Flames are in Columbus on Friday, and I'll be in Columbus for that game. So they will see Johnny Gaudreau for the first time on Friday.
So here's my question, because I thought what Calgary fans did for Matthew Kachuk last week was brilliant. Every time the guy touched the puck in game action, they were booing him. They're all over him. Video tribute time, standing ovation. And I thought that's one of the most intelligent, classy things I've ever seen a fan base do. Like, what a great sign of respect. Hey, man, thank you so much for the years here. Like, Matthew Kachuk wore his heart on his sleeve for that franchise. Put his body at risk, played the game in a very physical and demanding manner. And the fans wanted to say thank you. They also, I think, said thank you because we knew you didn't want to stay long term. We don't take it personally. We got assets back. And we're going to boo you when you touch the puck because, hey, in the here and the now, we don't like you. We appreciate what you did.
Do you think, Ian, just before I cut you off here, there are even some stretches where he's touching the puck and, like, a second will pass and it's like, oh, nobody booed. And you mentioned that video tribute. They cheered him. Then they immediately booed him after. And you heard people in the stands laughing at how ridiculous it was that they went from cheering to booing. Like, it was a very weird situation. Not to cut you off, but I just had to add that context.
So is there any chance when Johnny Gaudreau comes back in January that he gets the same treatment? Which is, we cheer you loudly in your video tribute, and we boo the heck out of you the rest of the time, or is it going to be straight boos? I'll tell you what. So I've covered a few of these kind of returns in the past, and I feel like when Danny Heatley left Ottawa years ago, Julian, you would have been, how old would a young Julian McKenzie have been in December of 2009? Which I 2009 or 2010, I think. So 2010.
I would have been 17? Into 15. I would have been 15 in December 2009.
Okay. So 15-year-old Julian McKenzie probably wasn't paying attention to the same extent that you would be now. But I'm pretty sure when Danny Heatley came back to Ottawa, if you want to know how acidic the kind of atmosphere was in Ottawa, I distinctly remember people sharing pictures of they had taken. You remember the starter lineup, little action guys you could get. Was it starter, starting lineup, starter, the little figurines of NHL players, right?
Yeah, I remember. I remember those.
Was it called starting lineup? Whatever. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So these little 4-inch tall little figurines. People put them in the urinals at the arena, and they were pissing on them.
Yo, that's disgusting.
Yeah, that's next level.
Yo, okay? that's messed up.
I'm pretty sure, and I could be wrong on this, I don't remember if they even gave Danny Heatley a video tribute.
Wow.
They really I don't know. Somebody would have to refresh my memory. That's crazy.
Wow.
Isn't that kind of nuts? People had literally put things in the urinal to pee on him. That's how much they hated him. So I don't recall. Like, if there was a video tribute, there's no way they would have cheered him.
No.
Even no, during the tribute.
Do that, no, you they get go. A lot of boos.
So
I don't think that's what happened for Johnny Gaudreau. I remember I had a conversation with Milan Lucic the other day, and he was saying that, like, he was kind of like laughing at the fact that, like, the Kachuk tribute kind of went the way that it did. And he wouldn't be surprised if it went similarly for Johnny Gaudreau. I actually, funny enough, in talking to other people, I think they had the opinion that I think because of how the free agency thing went for him, you might hear more boos. You know, he leaves, the team doesn't get anything for him. He says he wants to go home. He goes to Columbus. We all know he told people that, you know, why he was going to Columbus, but also, like, you're going home and Columbus is still how many hours away from home? Like, if I'm a Flames fan, I'm like annoyed. I'm like, come on. Like,
what's it, like, an 8-hour drive? 8 hours?
Yeah. That's not home. That's like if I said I wanted to go to Montreal, I want to go home, and I had to live in
Toronto, even.
Yeah, that's literally it. Like, that's close.
Six and a half hours.
That's like seven hours of a drive.
Yeah.
You know, the flight might be a little bit better. And to Johnny Gaudreau's point, he has enough money where if he wanted to take flights from Columbus to, I guess, Southside Philadelphia or Southside Jersey, whichever one works.
Jersey, Philly, yeah.
Yeah, like the flight itself is not going to be that long. Like, it's funny, we keep thinking of it as like, yeah, man, like it's sick. It's 8 hours. It's an 8-hour drive. Like, you're still far. Johnny Gaudreau doesn't have to drive
home
if he wants to. He could take a flight if he really wanted to, which would be like,
he's not packing. Less. He's not getting in a minivan and packing snacks.
No,
he's not road someone tripping could, like the rest of us.
No, someone no. could. I'm going to look this up like right now. Like, how far is it from Columbus to New Jersey through a flight? I'm sorry for the people who are bored of this. Like, I don't know. It's at least like what, 90 minutes?
Yeah, probably. Like, if it's a 7-hour drive, 8-hour drive, whatever it is, then yeah, you're probably looking at a 90-minute flight.
Yeah, okay, it says here from Columbus to Newark, New Jersey, the total flight duration is 1 hour and 18 minutes. That's not bad. But we keep thinking of it as drive because, like, you know, not everybody has all that money to just throw at a flight. That being said, I know I've gone on a side tangent. I'm sure there are fans who definitely are feeling like still a little, you know, hurt at the fact that Johnny Gaudreau left them the way that they did. And while they are still, you know, moving on and they see the guys that they have now and the roster that they're trying to build, like, I get it. Fans have the right to feel the way they want to feel. I think it'll ultimately end up being around the same thing for Matthew Tkachuk. Even if he's not the same personality, I think because of the circumstances, like, it'll result in him getting his own fair share of boos. And I think he'll get it, like, throughout the game as well.
You know what? I could see the crowd, you know, because Columbus is kind of stuck in the bottom of the standings. I could see fans doing, you know, one of those, you know, enjoy the basement chants or, you know, whatever like that. But yeah, I'm curious.
I wonder if they're going to do Hubie's better again. Because I don't know if you realize this.
Hubie's better. Yeah.
Yeah. Because they did that during the Tkachuk game. And yeah. I mean, that's a little bit, you know, direct one for one for each other, I guess. So maybe less likely we get Hubie's better, but, like, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, these revenge games are always fun. I wonder what it'll be like for Cassidy Monday night in Boston. One other thing I want to touch on. So I forgot to tell you this. I think we talked about this a few weeks ago. I know I did on the Thursday edition of the pod with Sean McIndoe, but Steven Stamkos got to his 1,000th point last week, And there was like a little window where I thought, Julian, this guy could get his 500th goal and his 1,000th point on the same play, right? Like,
yeah.
He ends up not getting it. He ends up with 494 goals and 1,000 points. He was close. I think I forgot to tell you this. When I was at the Hall of Fame induction ceremony in Toronto, Lanny McDonald is walking by. And I'm thinking in my mind, I'm going to stop him and ask him about this because Lanny McDonald is the guy in NHL history that almost did this. He ended up, I think he got his 500th goal, Julian, and his 1,000th point within a couple of weeks of each other. Like he was, like, I think when he got his 1,000th point, he had 498 with goals. So I stopped him and I said to him, I said, Steven Stamkos is like closing in on 1,000 points and 500 goals. I said, Lanny, at any point when you were chasing down those two milestones at the same point, did you ever think about how cool it would be if you got them both on the same goal? He looks at me, he's like, never even thought of it until now. So isn't that weird?
Like, yeah, that's weird.
I guess. But anyway, and Lanny's, you know this, and now with your time in Calgary a little bit, just a beloved figure and a guy that is just, yeah, he is what you think he is. But he legitimately, when he answered my question, it looked like he had never, the thought had never crossed his mind. So I don't even know if Steven knew about that.
Here's the thing. HockeyDB and Hockey Reference were not a thing when Lanny McDonald was chasing that. Like, there's a reason why Mitch Marner went off the way that he did when he accomplished that record for that point streak for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the weekend. I think in the information age that we're in now, like, guys see that and they pick up on that and they could use that as like a source of motivation to play well. I have a hard time thinking Steven Stamkos wouldn't have known.
Can I feel like every time when we do a pod, you and I, you know what we need to come up, and I always spit, I'm like, we need to have new little segments.
I love
it. Here's what I think we need, because we talked about this. We have a 17-year age gap. It's like the Alfredson-Carlson thing. Like, we can make this work, but there's got to be a little bit of teaching on both sides. Like, I almost think this would be fun. And I think our listeners would appreciate this because I bet you a lot of listeners are kind of in my age demographic, a lot of them in your age demographic. We need to do one of these, like, I'll teach you, you teach me.
Like, oh, I like that. You know what I mean? Cool. Like,
I need to learn some urban, fun, cool, hip terminology.
Urban? Okay? Like, what do you mean, urban?
I'm a suburban guy. I live in...
Wow.
I live in...
You want to know how old Ian Mendez is, fact that he said urban.
Exactly. Well, no, you know why I said urban is because I used to always... I mean, I don't go as much, but I would run to Urban Dictionary. I'd be like...
Oh, word?
Oh, hey, what does that mean?
Urban Dictionary.
Urban Dictionary was like my go-to. Anyway, long story short, I'll teach you, you teach me. Yes. Did you know that... So. Way back when, and I'm a kind of like a kid of the early 90s is when I really loved hockey or whatever. The only time we would get stats would be the newspaper would print them once a week. The entire league stats would come on like a Tuesday. And like you'd go to and if you were in a hockey pool of friends, like that's how you would tabulate it by hand on the Tuesday, like the day, or you could get, I think the hockey news had it every issue. Would be the stats, but it was like from like 4 days ago, you know?
Oh,
so,
man.
You know, if like Ray Ferraro had a hat trick for Hartford, it wouldn't show up for like a week on the stats page. That nuts. That
drive me. Wait, I have a question. How big were fantasy sports when you were like
younger? So we had pool, like I was in a hockey pool, but like, you know, before my time, so this is even before me. Did you know that they used to split? Like, if you were in a hockey pool when Wayne Gretzky was at his absolute peak of his career.
Yeah.
They would split up his goals and assists. Like, you could put your hand up and say, I'll draft Wayne Gretzky's goals. And then the next guy's, like, four picks up. I'll take Wayne Gretzky's assists. So, I mean, you would do the assists first. You would split it up because people would say it was unfair if you had both. So they would split Gretzky into two.
What?
Did you, okay, Julian, did you know that in 1986, Wayne Gretzky, I believe he had 215 points. 50, if I'm not mistaken, 52 goals, 163 assists. He would have won the scoring title with zero goals. He had 163 assists, which was more than anybody else had points. So at this point in time, I'm telling you, people used to split this guy up in hockey pools. Can you imagine if today they're like, oh, you know, I'll take McDavid's assists or what, you know, what, like that's how bananas it was.
Man, this guy, and like that year was like the third consecutive year and the fourth year in 5 years that he had over 200 points in the NHL.
So no,
like, like if someone gets 100 points in the NHL now, that's like a big deal. Like 200, like imagine you had a stretch where 4 out of 5 years you hit the 200 point plateau. That's unheard of. And the fact that people would get to a point in fantasy sports where you're drafting a person's goal. Could you imagine? I know we use the football analogy a lot because we both love football. But like, could you imagine if it was just like, oh, I'm going to draft Justin Fields, but like his rushing stats.
Right, like, exactly.
Like I have him as like a running back or something. Or Michael Vick would be an even better example.
Mike Vick back in the day would have been the guy. Mike Vick, you would have been like,
it's like,
he's a running back. Yeah.
Yeah, like you're only allowed to take him for his running skills, and you have to pick him separately for throwing.
Okay, so let me ask you: had you ever heard of this thing with Gretzky that they would split up the goal? Okay, so
never.
So we've done it. We have accomplished. I'll teach you. You teach me. There we go.
I like this idea, but now I have to think. Like, what cool?
You don't have to think. You could literally tell me anything, and I'll be like, oh, okay. Like, okay. I told you, I have to sometimes have you ever gone to Urban Dictionary?
I've gone to Urban Dictionary.
Okay, so I don't feel that bad.
No. Like, I sometimes...
And that's why stuff. I used the term urban. It was because of, like, Urban Dictionary. Because of
Urban Dictionary. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's fine. Because, like, no, like, I'll, like, I mean, I'm a millennial, and, like, I have, like, I have two younger sisters. One is, like, sort of on the cusp of millennial Gen Z, and one is definitely a Gen Z. And, like, stuff will come up, and I'm just like, you know what? I actually don't know what this means. And then I'm like, oh, okay, that's what that actually means. Actually, one thing I learned. Actually, you know what? You know what? This is my opportunity to possibly do this too. So I have a question. When you hear the phrase out of pocket, what does that mean to you?
My first thought goes to insurance, and you have to pay out of pocket. Like, let's say you get a physiotherapy or a back. Again, now you can tell, hey, this guy might be in his 40s if he's talking about physio and lower back pain. But, you know, you have to pay out of pocket. If your insurance provider doesn't cover it, you pay out of pocket.
Okay. That makes sense.
That's what I think.
I would know that for that too. Because in talking to people here at work at The Athletic, I have learned that a lot of people like to use the term out of pocket to say that they're going to be away for a certain amount of time.
What the hell does that mean?
That's what I want to know. Like,
you know, out of pocket could also refer to Mike Vick.
Yes.
See?
Yes.
That's we're bringing it all back together.
Bring it all back. Justin Fields, all those guys.
He's out of pocket.
I think of out of pocket as someone who says outlandish things and like says maybe inappropriate stuff. It's like, oh, you're going to say this thing? Man, you're out of pocket. Like, you need to stop being out of pocket. Like, that's not right to say.
Okay, like, I've never heard out of pocket in that phrase. Okay.
Yeah. Like, there's even a song from Kendrick Lamar called N95 where the hook, like, someone says, like, a pretty mean statement, and then you hear Kendrick Lamar say, you're out of pocket. But I remember, like, being in a conversation with, like, one of my colleagues here, and he says, oh, you know what? I'm going to be out of pocket today. And I'm like, why are you going to be out of pocket today? You a nice guy. Like, why would you do this? Why would you start being out of pocket for no reason? Like, I had no idea.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, see, there you go.
Out of pocket just for money. Me. Like, that. I know that too, but I also know out of pocket for something else. But it took me until joining The Athletic to know that people use out of pocket as a way of saying that they are going to be away for a certain amount of time.
Okay. I've never heard that. Never heard. By the way, I've also just thought of an idea. I'm going to launch something. I'm going to lock down the website for Suburban Dictionary. And it's going to be phrases like cul-de-sac and things that you only hear like in the deepest
yacht rock.
Part.
Yacht Rock has to be there.
Yacht Rock, you know, all these things. Proximity to chain restaurants. This is what we have in the suburban dictionary.
This suburban. Is crazy. Okay. If you do that, I will buy it. On principle.
Let's lock it down. Lock it down. Okay. Real quick, before we wrap up this pod, the reason why I also brought up Steven Stamkos, gets to 1,000 points. Fun trivia question for you. Okay? On Steven Stamkos.
All right.
Cool. Let me just pull it up to make sure I've got the right names here. Okay. Stamkos is now one of 7 players, Julian, in NHL history that were drafted first overall in an NHL draft, have 1,000 points in their career, and have only played for one franchise.
How many part of that again?
So, number one overall draft pick.
First overall draft pick.
1,000 career points.
1,000 career points.
Only played for one team.
And only 7 players have done it.
Only 7 number one overall picks have met this criteria. I'm just curious how many you could name.
Crosby and Ovechkin off the bat.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Boom, boom. Crosby, Ovechkin.
Oof. Okay, I'm being put on the spot, so I know I'm going to think too hard about this. 1,000 points. McDavid hasn't reached 1,000 points.
No, he's like in the 600s, though. Like, but he'll get there soon enough, for sure.
Okay.
This is where we tell Leafs fans, Matthews will get there with Arizona. No.
Oh, no. Don't do that.
No,
don't
exactly. That. No, no, no. Don't we're not. We're, I'm joking.
Dude, look, I know. As someone who has poked that bear, I do not want to get there. My God. And they've played their entire career with the same franchise.
Exactly. So they never left. Like, so just for example, like
Mario Lemieux is there.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Mario's on there.
So it's 3.
Because there's other guys, like think of like a Joe Thornton, for example, was taken first overall, but obviously bounced around, or Matt Sundin, or you know, so there's other guys that have got to 1,000 points, first overall pick, just haven't done it all with one team. So Stamkos did it, Ovechkin did it, Crosby did it.
Lemieux did it.
You're missing 3. But you got 3. That's actually good. That's very good. Because I did put you on the spot here. I put you on the spot. Okay. I'll give you the other ones.
Okay, fine.
There's one other active player in the NHL right now.
Okay, I want to get the active player. At the very least, let me get the active player. And I bet there are people who are listening to this episode who are just screaming.
They're screaming, my God.
Oh my God. I'm literally sifting through every single team.
Okay.
My head right now.
Let me give you a hint here. These guys were all drafted in a tight window. So it went Crosby, Ovechkin, Eric Johnson, who's not obviously on this list, the missing guy, and Stamkos.
Oh my God. Oh my God. No, I'm blanking in my head right now. Oh my God. No. Where was the 07 draft held?
Now you can't ask reverse trivia questions to me. Certainly not as obscure as where was the 2007 NHL draft? Would that actually help you if I gave you the city that it happened? Are you like one of those spelling bee guys where I'm like, where you're like, can you give me the country of origin for the, like, this would help you?
Okay. Ovechkin, Crosby.
It was in Columbus. 2007 draft was in Columbus.
Oh my God. And then Stamkos was 2008.
Yeah. So we're missing the
Alexander Ovechkin was on the cover of NHL 07. Eric Staal was on the cover of 08.
I love you reverse engineering this with EA Sports covers.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I'm going to flip.
I'm going to help you out. Listen, he's a 3-time Stanley Cup winner with this franchise. That should help it. No. Well, how many teams
Patrick
won
Kane?
There you go.
Patrick Kane.
Patrick Kane.
Okay. Why did I take so long? I hate myself for thinking so long.
People are yelling at their speakers right now on their smartphones.
Oh man. It was funny too, is that I was writing something earlier today. And I mentioned Patrick Kane. Flames fans, be on the lookout for something that mentions Patrick Kane coming this week. I don't know.
Okay, there you go. Okay, so the other guys on the list. So you, it's crazy, right? They all four in a tight window. Crosby, Ovechkin, Kane, and Stamkos. Four guys within 5 years. Outside of that, you go to the previous basically 40 years, there's only three guys that have done it. One is Mario Lemieux.
Is Marcel Dion one of them?
Nope. Because he bounced around, right? He went to Detroit, LA, Rangers, I think were the teams for him. Okay, so the other two guys, and this is impossible. The other two guys, Gilbert Perreault of the Buffalo Sabres.
Have gotten him.
No, never. And Denny Potvin of the New York Islanders. And that's it.
Yeah.
That's the
I wouldn't have thought about that.
Yeah. Anyway, so when Steven Stamkos got to 1,000 points this week, I thought, I'm going to look it up because I'm curious. How many guys have gotten to 1,000 points, first overall pick, and never left? Like, that's pretty hard to do, right? It's pretty,
man,
pretty tough thing to do. And everybody on that list is at least a one-time Stanley Cup winner with that franchise, with the exception of Gilbert Perreault. Because Potvin, of course, won 4 cups. Lemieux won multiple cups. Crosby, multiple cups. Ovechkin, 1 cup. Kane, 3 cups. Stamkos, 2 cups, right? That's Lockett. I mean, if you didn't think Steven Stamkos was the first ballot slam dunk Hall of Famer before, I think this pretty much should be game, set, match, right?
And he's 32 years old.
Yeah.
Stamkos is not
4 to 5 years left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that blows my mind. I still think of like the Stanley Cup final where like he had been banged up and he just like played like, was it 8 minutes? Not that long and still scored.
Oh, not yet.
Against Dallas.
I always say that was like his Kirk Gibson moment where like,
yes,
Kirk Gibson like kind of limps up to the plate and hits a home run. And that's all he had in him was like one swing of the bat. I felt like Steven in 2020 had like one shift in him in that cup final against Dallas. He's like, he scored. He's like, I'll see you later, guys.
And it made all the difference.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have to make sure that next time we do this, I come up with like a trivia question for you. Yeah. Someone gave me a really good Ovechkin trivia question that maybe I'll tell you off air. But I heard it this weekend and that stumped me a little bit. So I'll find that for you.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Victorinox, the makers of the original Swiss Army knife, have been a reliable companion for life's everyday challenges, mastering functionality, innovation, iconic design, and uncompromising quality with its products. The Victorinox Swiss Army knife provides you with all the things you don't think about until you need it: tweezers, a screwdriver, and even a corkscrew. With the Victorinox Swiss Army Knife, you can be prepared to master everyday life. You can find Victorinox Swiss Army Knives at Dick's Sporting Goods.
Let's wrap up this Monday edition of the Athletic Hockey Show like we always do. We'll bounce around and see who had the best week behind the bench in the NHL. Look, we got some teams that were perfect last week. Last 7 days, Minnesota Wild, 3-0. Nashville Predators, 3-0. Carolina Hurricanes, 3-0. So, you know, maybe a little love for Dean Evason, John Hines, Rod Brindamore. Julian, I gotta really push hard for DJ Smith because tell you how the temperature was boiling over in Ottawa. They've won 4 of their last 5 games, including 2 games in a row, back-to-back within 24 hours on the weekend at Madison Square Garden, back home against San Jose. This guy's been through it a ton. And I think to be able to come out of it on the other side with a little bit of hope and optimism, I'm going DJ Smith here. This guy is taking a ton of heat in this market. Seeing him win a couple games, he deserves this and a little bit of positivity around him. So that's my vote for the week.
I don't oppose going with DJ Smith. I would also shout out John Hines. I mean, I think of the other teams that are mentioned, Minnesota being one of them. The other team being Carolina. Those two teams are in pretty good playoff positions. The Nashville Predators, I mean, they're still knocking on the door trying to get into the playoffs. A guy like John Hines in Nashville could use any point. You could use the points. So I would imagine for me, maybe I'd give it to him, but DJ Smith needs those points more in Ottawa, considering the pressure that's there, considering all those expectations that have been thrust upon the Ottawa Senators. Sorry, I'm one of those people who thrust expectations on you. Yeah. So you know what? I'm okay with being unanimous with you and picking DJ Smith. That's a guy who said, you know what, man, you're playing through pressure. And I don't think Dean Evason, and definitely not Rod Brindamore, and to a lesser extent, John Hines, they're not feeling that pressure the same way as DJ Smith is right now.
Well said. All right, we're going to go for it. We're going to give DJ Smith the Jack Adams of the Week award for the past 7 days. They win two huge games. All right, wrapping it up, let me ask you this question to kind of sink our teeth into an interesting storyline. And that would be, we're at the 25 game mark for most teams, 20, 25 games. If I had to ask you who's been the breakout star, Julian, who deserves the title of the breakout star of the NHL season to date? I'm going to give you four options. Feel free to go off the board if you think one of these four guys, there's somebody beyond these four. Who deserves the title of breakout star of the year? I'm going to go, your options are Jason Robertson, Tage Thompson, Jack Hughes, or Rupe Hintz. Who's like, you know what? That guy is the breakout star for me.
So Jason Robertson has been a good player for a bit, but we've never seen him be this good. And I say this because I feel as if I say Jason Robertson, people are going to be like, oh, well, he's a bit, I don't want to say established, but like, you know, we know him to be a good player, but like,
yep.
We're talking about him as a potential Hart Trophy candidate right now. Rupe Hintz has always been underrated. He had a hat trick on Sunday, which doomed my fantasy hockey team. I'm not happy about that. Tage Thompson, who looked as if he was just going to be a guy in St. Louis, and then Buffalo gets him, and he turns him, and we all look at his shooting percentage. We're like, is that sustainable? And Tage Thompson has established himself as a really good player. But I think Jason Robertson, for what he's able to do in Dallas, and helping them, not just by scoring all those goals and just being a good player. Dallas is looked at as a playoff team, like as a solid team with the pieces that they have. And Jason Robertson's a really big reason why. And if he's able to hold on to this, I think he is certainly deserving of the breakout guy. Because now we're looking at a player who will elevate themselves into a completely different tier of player because of a season like this.
You know what? Who it is for me? I think it's Tage Thompson. And I know he had the 38 goals, whatever, last year. Julian, I've watched, I think, probably in person, two Sabres games this year. Like, so been in the building with my own eyes to watch. And then, you know, watched maybe two or three other games where they're on TV. I'm blown away by this guy. Like, the games I've watched him in person with my own eyes, I'm like, this guy's dominant. And he leaps off the page for me. And I got to tell you, like when they traded Ryan O'Reilly years ago, I thought, man, they got fleeced. They got fleeced on this trade with a capital F. Well, Tage Thompson, to me, has been, he's elevated himself from a guy who scored 38 goals or whatever last year. He's a legitimate star in this league. I'm going Tage Thompson here. I think Buffalo came through Calgary. Did you watch him there?
Yeah, I watched him and I watched all those guys in Buffalo. Those guys are, even if they don't make the playoffs this year, like, they have a bright future, man.
Yeah,
fast,
they do.
They're quick. They're fun to watch. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Also, I think our reasonings are more or less similar. I think Tage Thompson is taking that step to become a star in the league. I kind of see Jason Robertson, who, yes, he had 40 goals last year. He may very well be knocking on the door of superstar.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that, I think we both have similar, like, I think that's fine.
Man. Anyway, it's fun, and if you're a fan of the Dallas Stars or Buffalo, there's not, and obviously we put Jack Hughes on there too. Like, there's nothing more exciting when your team has a young star, and you start to think about in your mind, you're like, wow, what will the next 5 years be like? Or the most fun is when that player hasn't hit his ceiling yet, right? And that, just like you said on Robertson, he hasn't hit his ceiling yet, and that's crazy. Like.
He's 23 years old. He's doing this.
Arguably the best goal scorer in the game this season, right? Like,
he's the best goal scorer at 5-on-5.
Yeah.
He's averaging like two goals at 5-on-5 a game.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, there's genuine, like, I know that, like, people are going to look at, like, oh, it's the heater that he's on that's going to propel him. But, like,
yeah,
his numbers look really good. There's a legitimate case to be made right now that goes beyond the heater, the point streak that he's on, that says he should be a viable Hart Trophy candidate.
Yeah. No, anyway, hey, this has been a lot of fun. And we've also come up with a brand new segment idea for future shows of I teach you, you teach me.
And also occasional trivia. By the way,
an occasional trivia.
If you want the trivia question,
okay.
The trivia question was this. So,
you're going right on the air here. Okay, now let's do this.
Yeah, I'm doing it. Alexander Ovechkin this week has 403 goals scored on the road. 403 goals scored purely on the road. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 active players right now who have more goals than Alexander Ovechkin does on the road. There are only 11 players in the NHL right now who have more career goals than Alexander Ovechkin does on the road.
Oh, I see what you mean. Like, so... like, if you took away all of Ovechkin's home goals and you only gave him his road goals, there's only a handful of guys that have more than him. Gotcha.
Correct. Correct. All time.
So, well, I mean, Crosby.
And sorry, not all time. Active players. Active.
So, Crosby. Players.
Yes.
And the aforementioned Stamkos, for sure.
Yes.
And Patrick Kane. Look at this. We're just rehashing names that we had earlier in the show.
Yes.
Phil Kessel?
Phil Kessel, yes. By one goal.
Oh, safely. Fell safely in there.
Very, very close.
Joe Pavelski.
Yes, Joe Pavelski's there.
And now I'm out. Now I'm struggling here. Because the Kopitars of the, and the Taves of the world and the Bergerons of the world, like, I'm just thinking of these like kind of great two-way centers. I'm like, do they have enough goals? Bergeron, Taves. I'm going to go Bergeron, Taves, and Kopitar and see if I got any of them right.
One of those three are there.
Okay, it's not Kopitar.
No,
it's not down Kopitar. To Taves, Bergeron. Bergeron scored a lot of goals. I'll say Bergeron.
Patrice Bergeron is on that, yes.
Okay. There we go. Wow. You're going to have to help me out on the other guys.
Okay,
so unless there's like an obvious Malkin. If there's ever a Crosby question, there's B Malkin. Malkin would.
So Malkin's there. So you've mentioned the top three guys. You're missing a guy who was on the cover of NHL 08.
You said this earlier. Wait. You said Ovechkin was 07. You said Eric Staal.
Eric Staal is there. Yes.
Isn't that what you said?
Yes, that's what I said. Eric Staal is on the cover of NHL 08. You pay attention.
I need you to know that I'm listening to you.
I appreciate that.
I'm listening.
Friend.
When somebody says Eric Staal was the cover athlete of NHL 08, I put that in a little piece of my brain, and I'm like, I wonder if I will ever need to use this information ever again.
Okay. Do you remember, I think it was during like the 2005 World Juniors, that really dominant line?
Bergeron.
That had Sidney Crosby. Yeah.
Crosby.
Yeah. Do you remember who was the third person on
that
line?
And it wasn't Mike Richards. It was the other. I feel like it's the other guy. Jeff Carter.
So Jeff Carter is part of that. So that is the right answer. But that's not the name I'm looking for.
Jeff Carter wasn't on that line. Wasn't it Carter and Richards? Carter and Richards on that team? Yeah, they were. Wasn't it?
So Carter, they were on that team. But there was like a line with like three really good players. Like Crosby, Bergeron, and there's a third guy. You probably didn't like him. No one really does.
Marchand was there, right? No.
Not on Marchand, the 5 team.
No, I'm thinking of the Olympics.
You're thinking of the Olympics. So 2005.
Yeah, sorry. I was thinking of the World Cup. Getzlaff and Corey Perry.
Corey Perry. Yes.
Yeah, was Jeff Carter not on that line? I thought Jeff Carter is right.
Jeff Carter's on that list, but yeah, it was. Listen, I remember it was Crosby, Bergeron, Perry.
Listen, the next time we have to do the Apple bonus segment on the show, why aren't we just doing this instead?
We should just do that.
By the way, at the end of our podcast when we're about to say goodbye. Here's 11 guys that have scored more goals than Alex Ovechkin.
So Crosby, Stamkos, Malkin, Staal. Yeah. You said Pavelski. You said Carter. You said Bergeron. You said Perry. You said Kessel. Did you say the... So there's two guys you're missing.
Two guys.
But I don't remember if you mentioned one of them already. But I also want to be careful. They're both American players. I mean, you might have mentioned one of those guys already.
Pacioretty. Max Pacioretty.
No, he's not there.
Oh. That was my initial thought. Boy. Now they're American guys.
So the two guys that are missing are American guys. And I don't remember if you mentioned, and I feel bad. I don't remember if you mentioned
one. You know what? I'm going to say this name because I don't want to do what you did. I'm going to say Patrick Kane.
Okay, so if we get Patrick Kane out the way, there is one. So Crosby, Stamkos, Malkin, Eric Staal, Patrick Kane, Joe Pavelski, Jeff Carter, Patrice Bergeron, Corey Perry, Phil Kessel. All of those players have had more goals than Ovechkin's road totals, and you're missing one player.
And he's American?
He is an American player. He was born in America. I think his dad was born elsewhere.
The hell? Now you're just confusing me.
I mean, I don't know. I thought I gave you a pretty good hint.
Well, his dad must have been a player then.
His dad was a player, yes. Once upon a time. Yes, he was.
Man, I don't know. I'm going to have to tap out. I have literally no clue.
Damn. Okay. All right. Zach Parise.
Oh, you know what? I never would have got. Well, I mean, if you started giving me some hints, maybe. But man,
I don't know. I figured you know the game. I thought you would have been up on JP Parise.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Terrible by me. But you know, it's one of those things where like his dad played before I watched hockey.
That's fair. Yeah. That's fair.
You know. I think his dad was in the 70s. Was he on that Team Canada, whatever that 72 Summit Series team? Wasn't he on that team?
Was he on that team?
I think so.
No, yeah, if he was.
I think so.
Yes, he was. Yeah. He was. He was.
Yeah.
He was.
So that's before both of our times.
That's fair. But hey, you did really well. That was awesome.
Okay. Yeah, there we go. Surprise trivia. You never know when you're going to, I don't know what's going to pop up at the Monday show. All right. Hey, man, this was great. I hope you have a great week. I'm sure, listen, we're going to have a lot of fun storylines to pay attention to, like Boston-Vegas Monday night, and you mentioned Calgary, and, you know, Ottawa's become suddenly a fun team. So we're going to have a lot of fun storylines to sink our teeth into the next 7 days. So, listen, have a great week, and we'll get you next Monday on the pod. And just come to the table with something you can teach me in my 40s, okay? That's your job. Like how I blew your mind with the Gretzky's goals assists being split up. I need something
that's crazy. That's crazy. All right, I'll think of something.
There we go. We want to thank everybody for listening to this Monday edition of the Athletic Hockey Show. Follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a rating, a review. We certainly appreciate that. Drop us the comments. We love to hear the feedback. You can follow us on YouTube as well at youtube.com/@TheAthleticHockeyShow. Right now, you can get a subscription to The Athletic for $2 a month when you visit theathletic.com/hockeyshow.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.